Hey, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, wow, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in We Agnostics on page 50. We're on the second paragraph. In our personal stories, you will find through that paragraph ending with, for each individual to settle for himself. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Kathy C. 12 Traditions will be Marge O. Rick J. will be reading the text, Susan S.H. and reading page 164. Newcomer greeter this morning is Chris W. It's Chris W. and Ken W.H. will be doing our second hour host. The reference number for yesterday, Monday, September 29th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21785. 21785. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 21786. 21786. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now have Kathy C. read the 12 steps. Star one.
Good morning, family. It's Kathy C. from New York, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Happy October, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy C. And next we'll have Marge O. reading the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Marge.
Good morning. Marge O. recovered in Massachusetts. 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in other matters except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and TV. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity. I pass.
Thank you so much, Marge, for stepping up. Appreciate it. Okay, well, here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We'll read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. So our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then you'll press star 1 to mute your phone again. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in We Agnostics. We're on page 50, second paragraph. In our personal stories, you will find through that paragraph ending, for each individual to settle for himself. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And Rick J. is going to get us started. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service. My name's Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with our particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us our purpose. We need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. The most important concept for me to understand as I was first reading the words in this book and coming to understand, you know, that, well, first of all, I was powerless. If I'm not powerless, then everything else is a moot point. It really is. But by the time we've gotten here, we figured out that we are powerless. And it's a belief system. I believe that I am powerless. I know that. I concede to that. It's just a fact of my life. It's more than a belief. It's just a simple fact that I am powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. So on that foundation, where do we go? And I love it that, step 2, it talks about came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And in this chapter, We Agnostics, it talks about the power which is greater than ourselves. I mean, it specifically says the words 9 times and refers us to Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, which actually goes on to explain that this spiritual experience that's brought about by a power greater than ourselves is a personality change sufficient for us to recover from compulsive eating? And that's it. It's a personality change. But I cannot change myself, and no human being can change me. No religion can change me. I have to believe and have a personal relationship with a power greater than myself. It's just that simple. And it was a long road for me. And in the stories, there's 42 of them, beginning with Dr. Bob's nightmare. And each one of these people have had a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. Of course, in the book, it's from alcoholism. But there's a wonderful definition on a personality change on page 27 that I just want to revisit very quickly. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motive begin to dominate them. That is a personality change, a drastic personality change, sufficient enough to recover. And I'm so glad to be recovered today with you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, for getting us started. All right, guys, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today, and keep your shares to 3 minutes so other people have opportunity to share. I'll remind you when time is up. Give me your first name, last initial of your last, where you're calling from.
Katie G.
From Boston.
Elena C.
Karen K.
Lisa Jen A.
I got Katie, Elena, Susan, Karen K, I think.
Karen.
Lisa.
Robin P.
Jen A.
Jen A. Anybody else I missed? All right, Katie, Elena, Susan, Karen, Lisa, Robin, and Jen. So if everybody will press star 1, remember to tell me where you're calling from so we can find you on the member list. That's what we're looking for. So Katie G, you are up.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for taking the meeting. This is Katie G, recovered compulsive eater in Boston. Wow, this is just so exciting. The whole point of this book, the whole point of the steps, is to get a relationship with God. And I am not here to avoid God. I'm not here to change my relationship with God so that other people feel comfortable. Like, it's really saying we each get to find a relationship with God. And I love that the word conceived means beginning, because that's what it was for me. Like, when I came in, I was very Buddhist. I was very based on mindfulness. I believed that there was something like energy, etc. And over the years, I have gone through the steps many, many times. I'm quick to see where religious people are right. I make use of what they offer. I explored a lot. I mean, this is really exciting. Like, I get to settle this for myself. You know, with my husband, we need to have dates regularly, right? What does that have to do with God? Well, I got to have a relationship with God, right? So it can be fun. There are so many things to explore. There are so many ways and religions that I can explore once I go through the steps and have a relationship with God, right? And so over the years, my concept of God has changed. I now belong to a church. It is not, you know, I don't go instead of going to my 12-step recovery meeting, but man, is it beautiful to surround myself with people who also believe in God. And it doesn't make a difference that other people have different conceptions. Buddha, Allah, Jesus, they're all right. It's as long as I have that conception and that I'm not playing God. And that's what I have to remember every day, because I have a huge ego and I like to play God. I like to get in there, page 60 to 63, trying to arrange my kids, my husband. I tell myself the lie, if they did what I wanted, I wouldn't feel the way I feel, right? I have a filter of alcoholism that looks at everything about like how it's going to make me feel better, right? And, you know, today, thank you, God, I have the steps that can clear that filter, because God comes in. And when I get up in the morning, I get on my knees and I just start the thank you, Gods. Because in the morning, my head is a poop show, right? So I just start saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you. I talk about him. I talk with him. It's just so phenomenal. And I want you to know, if you're face down in the food or anorexia or bulimia, God is here for you too. You count too. This can happen for you too. And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Katie G. All right. Next up, Elena C., followed by Susan S. H. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina. And I just wanted to let you know that we had a terrible storm here. The city is devastated. There's a higher power of the universe. There's a higher power in every person in the city, and not only the both Carolinas were, but I need not fear. And I just need to do my part in this, and I need to allow the higher power, each and everyone around me in the world, to work on it as long as I do my part. And my part was like, just maybe call the neighbor's kids who did not have electricity to feed them today, yesterday, and, you know, friends. And I have a part, and I can do something about it. And this is exactly what this paragraph is talking about, you know, like my part in everything is that to grow towards my higher power of my understanding and like practice the values that this power of my understanding is teaching me, and is teaching me amazing values with which, if I practice, I am going to have a personality change, like Rick was talking about, you know. And those were kindness, generosity, compassion, courage. And that's all I need to do. And I can engage with the world in this area. There's no point of me to go and tell them, you know, guys, you do need to maybe go get some water at the fountain in the mountains of, like, if there's right there. And you need, no, they can figure out for themselves, because they have a power greater than themselves. And I need not interfere with that power. I need interfere means into fear. And I am not going to do that today. And you know, it's this paragraph talks about differences between spirituality and religion, you know. In spirituality, I can do that, what I just said. I can allow each and every one of you to have the power that you choose that would work in your life. And I have my own, you know, and only through my own example, I can affect or not somebody else around me. And then that is good enough. Whereas religion, it is my experience. I was so good at laying aside prejudice against religion. But yes, every now and then, and I still come, I do need to remember what religion is bringing something beautiful to this world, bringing value to the world. But as opposed to spirituality, it wants other people to believe the same, okay? And spirituality, no.
That's fine, Elena.
Spirituality, whatever everybody believes is good enough. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next up, Susan S.H., followed by Karen K., I think. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan S.H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in St. Mary's, Ohio. What this paragraph says to me is that I don't have to be looking at every single person I talk to and their conception of a higher power. I don't talk to them yet. Be changed by their conception? Not necessarily. Be open, and I need to be willing to hear deeper truths. But the fact is, I don't have to, I don't have to be worried about that. As long as I continue to accept that I'm powerless and the fact that only a higher power can take away, day by day, my compulsion. Whatever that higher power happens to be, I don't have to higher power, and I don't have to understand it perfectly. That is such a relief, because I don't. But the fact is, whether we agree makes a little difference. Experience teaches us that we don't need to worry about it. There are questions for each individual to settle for himself, and I must turn to a higher power to help me settle these things. So, very grateful to look at that and re-remember it as many times as I need to. I have a relationship with a higher power who will guide me and help me in everything as long as I'm turning to him. So, him, her, whoever. Very grateful to have that today and to be a part of a fellowship that I didn't know I needed. So, I will pass with that.
Well, thank you so much, Susan S.H. from Ohio. And next up we have Karen, I think it's Karen K., and Lisa. Karen?
Hey, yes, this is Karen K. from Virginia, compulsive overeater. The last line in that paragraph, there are questions for each individual to settle for himself. This line was really helpful for me to read early on in my recovery. At first, I would try on other people's perceptions and ideas of their higher power. And ultimately, as I continued to follow directions and work the program, my relationship with my higher power grew. And my idea of my personal higher power became clearer and clearer. And only as I continued to enlarge my spiritual life did I become really best friends with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. So I'm back from relapse and grateful to say that as I sort of reintroduce myself to my God, I really have this like overwhelming feeling of comfort, because even though I've been super self-reliant during this relapse and time away from my God, God hasn't missed a beat and is right here holding me up and ready to get back to walking this journey together with me. And relying on God is a way better way of living for me, and utmost important if I'm going to get well from compulsive overeating. So I'm super grateful for everybody to be on the meeting today. Kelly, thank you for your service and everyone else doing service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen K. from Virginia. Next up, we have Lisa, followed by Robin P. Lisa, what's the initial of your last name?
Good morning.
Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Lisa H., gratefully recovered
okay.
in Tennessee this
call.
Morning. Yeah, thank you. So much comes up for me in this paragraph, and it reminds me that there are so many ways to get to God. right? You know, it's, I realize that the personal stories they're talking about are the stories at the back of this book. But if you're new, you know, the special editions from Sunday morning have a plethora of personal stories of how, right, of how people got access and came to believe in this power greater than themselves, you know, and in the beginning, right, I just had to know that this power with a capital P was not me. And as I, you know, of course, getting clear of the food, right, was the very first thing I had to do so that I could continue to work the steps, so that I could have access, that I could gain access, that I could clear away the wreckage and continue to develop this concept of a power. Like many people, I grew up with this idea of an angry, punishing power. And in the process of course, growing up, in the process of attending my faith place that I attend, in the process of working these steps to the best of my ability with as much rigorous honesty as I could muster, I continued to, my conception continued to evolve. My conception continued to grow and get so big and so mysterious that it is beyond my understanding. But I do understand, right, that that power with a capital P is not me. And every day, right, I have a 24-hour reprieve from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that I have to, first thing in the morning, like many people, I begin with gratitude because God has taken away the obsession that I have with food. And not only that, right, God has taken away the obsession that I have with a whole lot of other things, because I can not because the food's not an issue anymore, I can get in obsession with people and places and work and all of those things. And God relieves that obsession as well, as long as I continue to stay in the work. And I'm just grateful to be here this morning, and thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Lisa H. from Tennessee. Next up, Robin P. from Puerto Rico, followed by Jen A. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, good morning. Hi, actually, it's Costa Rica, but I'm currently in London. No worries. Robin P.
I miss those monkeys.
no worries. Robin P. gratefully recovered, currently in Georgetown, on her way to London. And I'm just so, so grateful. You know, I just loved this chapter. I came in, I was raised atheist, and I just, it's such a blessing. This was such my bridge to God. And, you know, I'm so grateful to believe in God and to have, you know, I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety because of this program. It made me open to that. And, you know, I just, this paragraph is so important to everyone gets to settle this for himself, and it all gets to keep growing. We get to grow spiritually. We can't rest on our laurels, and I get to keep getting closer to God and lean on God, you know, and that everyone, you know, I've met people who are of every faith or lack of faith, and as long as they're not worshiping the food, you know, and making God their food, or their, you know, ego, easing God out, everyone can get well. And, you know, I a power greater than myself. That's what the step said. So, and greater than the food. And my father recently passed away, and we had his memorial concert. He was an orchestra conductor his whole life. So we had his memorial concert last weekend. And I spent the past 3 days, and I have a little more to do, uploading videos to a memorial YouTube channel for him. They assembled, he was orchestra conductor for 60 years, and they assembled a group of alumni musicians and did a big concert. And so I have, you know, and the best reception I could get, because we're traveling, was at a grocery store, Whole Foods, I think I'm allowed to say that. And I was sitting there for the past 3 days uploading videos in the Wi-Fi. And I was thinking this morning, wow, I didn't even think of food the whole time. You know, I just had my abstinent meal, and that's being restored to sanity, because it's also emotional for me, you know, doing this. And, you know, there's a lot of love in those videos, and just it was, you know, really touching but emotional. And I'm so grateful. God can restore us to sanity anywhere, anytime, as long as we are willing to be in fit spiritual condition. I'm so grateful for that. We're really busy. There's a lot going on our way to London. And, you know, I just am so grateful to God and for all of you. And I take this program with me anywhere on the planet so far, wherever I've gone. And I'm eternally grateful to all of you. I just get to keep reaching up and reaching out. God bless all of you with a really abstinent, beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Before we go on to Jen A., I just want to let you guys know where we are. We are in We Agnostics, page 50, second paragraph, in our personal stories that you will find through that paragraph ending with, for each individual to settle for himself. Jen A. is up next, and then we'll be opening up for more shares. Good morning, Jen.
Morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for taking the meeting and moderating today. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic from Colorado. Thank you, God, for this neutrality around food. But more than that, thank you for this transformation of mind, body, and soul. And that's what we heard today. And I just want to thank Rick for opening up and taking us back to that page and telling us and giving us a definition of what that looks like. You know, in Colorado this last weekend, we had our state convention. We've really struggled. We've actually pulled two intergroups together to be able to function here because of the downfall and the lack of recovered people and just the fellowship falling apart over the pandemic and the food causing that, right? People go back out. And we had 90 people at Red Rocks Amphitheater this last Saturday for an entire day. And the reason I bring that up is because one of the things was, is what kind of message do we want to carry? And the message was a wide variety of people. We wanted people to speak with their experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, we asked them to speak on a topic, and there was a theme. And it was amazing to me that each person didn't talk about how their food plan saved them, didn't talk about how their sponsor saved them, didn't talk about how, you know, the exercise plan or the this or the that, not the man-made things that saved them, but that one was God that saved them, higher power, however they wanted to phrase it. And just like the varieties of stories in the back, I heard a variety of stories of recovery from multiple speakers in Colorado and ones visiting that told about how they found this God. And it's not that God just put the food down them and they got thin and life was great. No, it's that their life changed. And that's my experience too. Life changes. It takes on new meaning. You know, I'm a different person today. And even though I'm recovered and even though years have gone by and I'm doing the deal and I'm still, you know, diving in as deep as I did when I first got here, I'm still human. I'm still making mistakes. I'm still acting out on old character defects. Things still crop up for me, and I still have to do this continual work. And it's like the arms going around the clock, right? 1 through 12, steps 1 through 12. But you know what? Those arms can't rotate around the clock unless I have access to a power source that's going to move them. So that's what I have to be reminded of today. You know, I don't have to agree with somebody's approach. I don't have to agree with their conception. It might be different, but what I see is something different in them. And that's what drives me to keep coming back and working harder to see the miracles of the transformation process in each person. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing, Jen A. from Colorado. Okay, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting again for some sharing. And I remind you that we do limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back and keep your shares to 3 minutes. So who would like to share today?
Jennifer Shee.
Larry D.
Larry K.
Yeah. There was somebody right after Jennifer that ended with a D, and I got you, Larry.
Sherry D in Maryland.
Oh, wait, Sherry, was it D as in dog?
Yes, D as in dog.
Okay, all right, go ahead. Who else after that, Sherry?
Roz G.
Roz.
Did you get Amy?
No, I did not, Amy. Got you, Amy.
Thank
you. And you did, Nick.
Nick, got you, Nick. All right, let's stop there. I hate to cut people off, so let's just stop there. Jennifer C., Sherry D., Larry K., Roz G., Amy G., Nick F. All right, let's get started with Jennifer C., followed by Sherry D. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. So grateful to be here with all of you. So, you know, what each individual has to settle for himself when he walks in the door, step one tells me that there is a power greater than me, lowercase p, and it's addiction. It's addiction. It has me by the throat. I can't control it. I can't manage it. I try to manage it. I try to control it. Even as I work my program, I come in and I think that the perfect food plan, the perfect sponsor is going to save me, right? Like, I just got to manage this. I just got to get myself recovered. They're telling me I got to get recovered, so now I got to get myself recovered, right? And I go through that process. Getting recovered becomes a power greater than me too. Like, I can't do it. I'm doing all the things. I think I'm doing all the things, and I'm not getting it. I'm not getting this thing that they all have. And I need it because I'm going to die. This is getting worse. And my disease got worse in program. And so I told myself it was program making my disease worse. And so what did I do? I left program for a while. Did more research out there that nothing else works. So then I learned that this power greater than me, which is addiction, which in my case is food addiction, is going to kill me unless I get this thing called a psychic change, a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening. And I need to be restored. I need to be completely made new because the old has to die. And I learned that here. And I learned that again and again. And, you know, for me, I had to come to a place where change was the operative word. It wasn't about weight loss. It wasn't about abstinence. It was about change. Change in my soul. Like, my way wasn't working. And the truth is today, at any given moment, my way isn't working, and I surrender again and again and again. So step two tells me, like, I'm crazy, right? Like, I'm not whole. The way I respond to my life is not healthy, and I want to change. And then step three takes me right into this relationship, a relationship built on trust now. Can I believe that God cares? Can I believe that God loves? And through that process, can I believe in this new power that saves with no side effects, only goodness, only love, only mercy? And can I believe in this new way of life where I throw my hands up and I finally say, God, have all of me. I got nothing left. Have all of me. I'm all in here. And can I take that step process and trust and believe in this God who me, who wants to do miracles
time, Jennifer.
And I hear about these miracles on the line, and then I become sold. This book tells me I have to become sold one day at a time. And thank you all for being here this morning with me in this journey, in this process, and me becoming sold. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Sherry D. followed by Larry K. Good morning, Sherry. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Sherry D. Recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland, currently sitting in the rain. What a great meeting. Thank you all so much for your service, Rick. Great job starting us off. I tell you what, I heard something that just resonated so much for me. You know, when I first came into a program of recovery, I came and I listened to people share what it was like, what had happened, and what it was like for them then, and recognized that I had a disease. So I admitted I was powerless. My very first meeting admitted I was powerless, and I got a sponsor and started working with a sponsor and said, yes, I'm absolutely powerless. My life is unmanageable because of, and I had a long list of people who, if they would just straighten up and act right, my life would be better. And, you know, fortunately, I had a great sponsor who just laughed and smiled and said, keep coming back. So, you know, in that second step, as it was mentioned, I came, then I came to, then I came to believe. It was a process for me. It does take time. It does need change. I loved that that was just shared. There's a lot of change that has happened in my life. And for me, it's because I was living off faith. I had a sponsor who said, believe that I believe. Fake it till you make it. I've been around recovery meetings, recovery programs for over 44 years. I still have days where I have to fake it. It's called faith. For me, that's what faith is all about, is just faking it, acting as if, putting one foot in front of the next, because I'm going to have days where life gets lifey, and my disease, as it was just shared, is cunning, baffling, powerful, and patient, and I have to put one foot in front of the next, get on my knees in the morning, go to a meeting, share my experience, strength, and hope, listen, follow good orderly direction, do the next right thing, even when I don't feel like it. And I'm so very grateful that this program offers me the ability to change, even when I'm stuck in my own humanity, my own humanness, and step aside and let that power that is greater than myself, that I do choose to call God rather than food, drugs, alcohol, I choose to call my higher power God and allow him to guide me. And I appreciate the time to share, and I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry D. from Maryland. Next up, Larry K. followed by Roz G. Hey, good morning, Larry.
Hey, Kelly, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Larry Kay, I'm recovered in Chicago. Thank God for that. You know, see, I'm someone, I don't know about you, but I'm someone who has a knack for taking something simple and weaving into it great complexity, you know. I could take a simple concept like this and create a story in my mind that becomes like the most staggering, like algebraic equation, and I was never particularly good at math. Now, we can do that if we want to. Nothing to prevent you from doing that. But this concept was designed to be simple. In other words, we hear the hoop that we had to jump through was extraordinarily wide here, and yet we thought it was so very narrow. It was only a matter of willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. So who was it that sat me down and told me I had to have the God thing resolved, settled, done before I can embark on the rest of the steps? Who was it that told me that? You know, that would be as ridiculous as telling like a toddler, here's the deal. I know you can't walk yet, but if you're ever going to be able to walk, you will first have to convince me that you believe that walking is possible for you. See, all toddlers have to resolve that walking is possible first. Otherwise, you're never going to walk. Now, you know, no, that's not what it is. Walking is built into their DNA. They try and they fall down. They try and they fall down. And eventually, I remember with my daughter, with Beth, they wobble over to a small coffee table, sort of as their sponsor encourages them and smiles. So why do we grow up and build complexity into something as organic and something as natural as coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves? Step two doesn't ask us to believe in anything, really. It merely asks me to come to believe. And for most of us, like me, that happens over time. That happens over time. As I trust this process, I embark on this stuff, and just like a toddler, I walk, because it's built into your DNA to believe. I got news for you. It's built into your, it's built into your humanness to come to believe in a power greater than yourself of your own understanding. And you know when that happens? As we work the steps. And what happens is something we call recovery. That's the deal. That's the deal, Charlie Brown, I heard someone once say. That's the deal, Charlie Brown. With that, I pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, Roz G., followed by Amy G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Kelly, and good morning, everybody. This is Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, in Los Angeles County. And I'm so grateful to the 12-step rooms, to Overeaters Anonymous, for being what it is, or for the big book, in that people come to believe in a power greater of themselves from within. And my within was, you know, well, before it was from church. And I thought that because I was a faithful attender of church, you know, a few times a week, and read the Bible and practiced my religion, that I knew it, you know, but none of those practices addressed the problem of compulsive overeating. It did not treat the problem. And working with a sponsor and being asked some questions, you know, you've probably heard these questions. What do you believe about God, not what you have been taught? What do you need God to be for you? What are some attributes about God that you need for you, Roz? And in my bedroom, I have a picture of a helicopter, a person on a string, and a person being rescued from a flood, from a helicopter, just hanging in like one of those lifesaver tubes. I have it in my room, and it's something that I look at every day. And on the helicopter, it says God, and on the person just hanging, flailing there, it's me. And that is such a beautiful picture of a higher power for me. This helicopter rescuing me from the floods of compulsive overeating because I have absolutely no power. And there's some of the people from AA, the men, well, what men and women, but there's some, you know, men and speakers in AA that just, they would talk about God in such great ways. One of them in particular, this man who was rescued by a God who broke down the doors. He was kind of like the mafia type. And he said, "My God breaks down doors, and he saved me from a hallway." And I just clung to that. So while I do practice a religion, my religion did not treat overeating. OA and the 12 steps did and does. And my conception of God is the God of Scripture, but I need these attributes like the rescue helicopter and like sense of humor and just kind love and gentle. I need these things to help me to cling to. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next up, Amy G., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Kelly. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you, guys. What an awesome meeting. So, you know, these personal stories, I had so many things to say and everyone else said them. So I'm going to try the personal stories to do the talking for me today. Because I tell you, when there's not a meeting, I can't get someone on the phone, prayer isn't doing it. You know, sometimes I just read these stories and they always point me back to this program. They point me to the steps. Most of all, they point me to my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And it's been such a journey. So, for example, when I first came to program, it was all about there is a higher power, but I'm not it. And I don't know what that higher power is. Don't ask me to define it, as others have said, because I can't. I'm too entrenched in my agnosticism. But my sponsor said to me, you know, in Overeaters Anonymous, we act our way into a new way of believing and thinking. And the story, My Chance to Live, on page 317, backs that up. If asked what the two most important things in recovery are, I would have to say willingness and action. I was willing to believe that AA was telling me the truth. I wanted to believe it was true in a way I cannot relate in words. I wanted this thing to work. Then I began to take the course of action prescribed. And that's what I did. I said, it's not me. I cannot fix myself. I am powerless. There's got to be something out there. In all honesty, it was in the people in whom the problem had been solved. I trusted and I believed that what you said was true. And I began the course of action. And then my higher power, through the process of working the steps, began to evolve. I began to see this power in action in my life. And here's another question. Here's another quote. Me and Alcoholic 386. Here I found an ingredient that had been lacking in any other effort I had made to save myself. Here was power. Here was power to live to the end of any given day, power to have the courage to face the next day, power to have friends, power to help people, power to be sane, power to stay sober. Moreover, I am deeply convinced that so long as I continue to strive in my bumbling way toward the principles I first encountered in the earlier chapters of this book, this remarkable power will continue to flow through me. What is this power? With my friends, all I can say it is a power greater than myself. And as I journeyed through these steps, particularly through step 9, I truly believe the promises are there after making or before we're halfway through, I started to begin to have a concept of a higher power. I acted as if we take the action steps and the steps do the work. And it's amazing how that concept, whom I now choose to call God, has developed over the years. And I'll just end with this last quote, and he sold himself short. I have found a fortune in friendships, courage, self-assurance, and honest appraisal of my own abilities. Above all, I have gained the greatest thing, according to any man, the love and understanding of a gracious God, who has lifted me from the scrap heap to a position of trust, where I have been able to reap the rich rewards that come from showing a little love for others and for serving them as I can. Wow, what an incredible program, lifted out of the compulsive overeating scrap heap to a life beyond my wildest dreams, one of recovery, sobriety, abstinence, and relationship with God. Oh my gosh, this program is incredible. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Amy G. And our last share today will be Nick F. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. It's Nick F. in Tennessee. I thank God for all my fellows and for all of your service, you know, who have so eloquently dissected and given the definitions of this book. And, you know, I had talked to my sponsor this weekend. I was like, you know, when I share, I just feel this power, it's not so nice sometimes. And she has really helped me out, and she said, God, if he wanted the Nick, God says that he wanted the Nick, so he created you. And she's really helping me to understand what's been under all of this 250, 300 pounds of shame and death and degradation. I get to show up, and I get to be me. So I get to be honest and say, you know, that I just don't quite believe the way some of you all are saying it, but I'm here. You know, food whooped my ass so bad that you ain't got to tell me lay it aside. The food, that last bite that almost took me out, I don't have a choice. And now I don't have a choice to believe in the God of your understanding and my understanding. I'm trying to get this deal because God has shown me that my life has been saved and I have no other option but to trust God. Now, real quick, my son, 13-year-old son, smashed his phone down the other day. And in that moment, I couldn't get on a special edition. In that moment, I couldn't call my sponsor. In that moment, I couldn't make an outreach call. I had to know how to behave. And it's because of the training that I'm getting now, listening and seeking and praying and searching. I knew exactly what to do in that moment. I didn't behave how I may would have been treated, got hit in the face or hit in the chest. That's not an option. I don't behave like that. I've been recovered to sanity. I stood there, and he picked his phone up. If he asked to use my phone, no, sir, you smash your phone. You know, and so by the end of the night, he said, Mama, my day started out real bad. He said, but you know something, it turned around. He said, I used to have a bad day all day. He said, and now it's starting to just, I'll have a bad moment or a bad morning. And by the nighttime, it's okay. I get to read this book. I get to live this story. I get to raise these children that have been restored back to my custody. I get to become a story. I get to become one of the stories in the back of the book. My life has been changed and rearranged because I have surrendered my will to this power greater than myself that I don't all the way understand, but it's testing me and it's keeping me, and I got a snapback body from a 6'5" to a 6X to a small. My body didn't snap back. You know, I used to work in a plastic surgery clinic where people were getting drains and cuts and injections and all of those things. None of that. God, I just surrendered my will. I wasn't trying to get no snapback body. I was just trying to quit hurting, quit getting my ass whooped by them sandwiches and dream cakes. And God has done all of this for me. And I like that I get to be honest and say I'm still struggling with the confession. But I for damn sure know it ain't me. So I'm so grateful for your all's service and your shares. And thank you so much for allowing me to just be. And with that, I'll pass.
Wow, perfect timing. Nick, thank you so much for taking us out. What a powerful meeting, guys. And thank you, everybody who shared and everybody who's here. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, October 1st, 2024, in case you want to hear it again, which I do because that was amazing, 21788, 21788. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Susan H., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Boy, I was into what I was hearing, and I lost my place where I was going to be here, so I'm looking that up right this minute. This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you